Good morning. You're listening to Speak Up on Alaska. I'm Alexandra Gutierrez. Today, our guest is Representative Bryce Edgman of District 37. We're going to be talking about items related to the budget and what's happening in the legislature in Juneau right now. Welcome, Representative Edgman.
Good morning, Alexandra. Hope things are going well for everyone in the community. It's a nice sunny day here in Juneau, and glad to be on with you for the next whatever time we have remaining, given that our start is a little bit late this morning.
Well, apologies, community, for the technical difficulties, but we think we have everything set up right now. So just starting off, the legislature is currently making headway on the budget. Can you talk a little bit about where things stand there, given that you're on the Finance Committee?
Yes, we're a little bit more than a third of the way into session. Actually, I would say approaching probably the 40% mark or so. And where things are taking shape is in the operating budget, with the House taking the lead as it traditionally does. So we're seeing agencies bringing their the agency budgets coming to the full Finance Committee from the subcommittee level. And actually a good time maybe to let folks know that we will be sending out a reminder, but that public testimony for the operating budget is scheduled for next week, February 28th and March 1st. That's Monday and Tuesday. And so we'll be letting people know when the appropriate time is for them to stop by the LIO and offer any testimony they might want on the operating budget.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing any items that would affect the Aleutians region and Southwest Alaska coming out of the capital budget right now?
No, the capital budget usually takes shape later on, and obviously the wastewater issue for Alaska is going to be something that we're going to be focusing quite closely on. But at this point, other than hearing sort of an initial hearing on the governor's capital budget, or holding, I should say, we have not had any action on the capital budget as of this point, and that will be happening later on in March. I'm guessing second, third week of March, the capital budget will begin to get more consideration. But the focus right now is on the operating budget, and I would point out, I think as we might have mentioned in the last radio show, that the twice-a-month ferry service is in the operating budget at this point. The funding is there for an additional year, and it's something that we are definitely focusing on. And as the Finance Committee member who's chairing the Department of Transportation Subcommittee, it's obviously something that we are going to see through the process and definitely make sure that it remains in the budget.
Mm-hmm. And I guess switching gears a little bit, right now there's been a lot of budget drama on Capitol Hill in Washington that actually affects Alaska. While the Essential Air Service program is currently safe, there was a lot of concern this month that Congress would kill EAS, which benefits a number of Alaskan communities, including ADAC out here. When the Alaska delegation fought against an effort to cut the EAS, Senator John McCain of Arizona, who opposes the program, says that if it's so important to Alaskans, why doesn't the state manage something like it? Is there any talk on the state level to do exactly that as a sort of backstop should EAS eventually disappear?
No, I haven't heard any talk, and I think the message from back east is that certainly Senator McCain's opposition was shot across the bow, if you will, but that the House did indicate support for the program for Alaska and Hawaii, although support for the program as a whole across the country to the tune of about $200 million, that support was, was definitely in jeopardy for the program as a whole, but for the outlying states of Alaska and Hawaii, there seems to be continued support. And the EAS program obviously is extremely important to the state of Alaska and the 44 communities it serves. And it should be noted that it does serve three communities in House District 37 directly. Pardon me, I think I've got the Juneau crud along with a lot of other people.
Bless you.
So, thank you. No, there is no talk about backfilling it with state general funds. And at this point, we're essentially moving on to other issues.
Mm-hmm. And on a similar note, public broadcasting funding is currently in jeopardy on the federal level. Should there be concern about funding on the state level as well?
Well, I did visit with the Department of Administration Commissioner, where the Alaska Public Broadcasting is housed in state government, and indicated my concerns with federal funding being reduced or potentially being reduced, and she acknowledged that fact, and so that's something that we're monitoring, and you know, as beneficiaries of public radio all throughout rural Alaska, you know, obviously this is a very important idea, important item for the rural delegation.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that your office recently helped out on that front. We had our Channel 8 auction this month, and you all donated a pen that former Governor Sarah Palin used to sign legislation. Out of curiosity, do you know what the piece of legislation was?
Yes, it was legislation designed to allow for the Head Start program to participate in the E-rate subsidy that's tied to the Universal Services subsidy program. And it's a bill that we, after 2 years' worth of work, we got through the process. The governor signed it, and we thought, good, we have now changed the state law to conform with the federal expectations for the program, only to learn afterwards that the federal side said no, the state changes in law still will not allow the Head Start program to be eligible. And so we were sort of back to square one on that whole issue.
And here's a question from our community. What's the status of exception of CDLs in Bush, Alaska right now, and are we going to get this extended?
Can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear that.
What is the status of exceptions of CDLs in Bush, Alaska, and are we going to get this extended?
Well, my office has worked quite closely with the delegation back east as well as the Division of Motor Vehicles here in Alaska. And the compromise is that the Division of Motor Vehicles is going to be sending testers out sort of intermittently to the communities to help alleviate this issue of, you know, the exemption that would require that the actual driving test take place in the community.
And so House Bill 65, which you introduced, has passed out of the Finance Committee. You drafted that bill and shepherded it through. Could you explain why expanding senior housing is an important issue for you and what you expect the impact to be?
Well, House Bill 65 is actually on the House floor today, and thank you for asking that question. It's timely. What the bill does, very simply, is it allows housing authorities to be more directly eligible for a senior housing grant fund that, to date, is only available in a direct sense to municipalities and to 501c3 and 501c4 not-for-profit corporations. So when you sort of stand back and look at the senior population in Alaska right now, it's about 12%, and it's the fastest-growing segment of population in Alaska. The fact that we can make housing authorities, and there's 14 of them in the state, make them more directly eligible for sort of a pot of money that sits in Alaska Housing and Finance Corporation that's tied to senior housing, but to provide for a direct way for housing authorities who really specialize in building houses and really hiring local residents to be more directly eligible for a state funding program just makes a lot of sense to everybody.